Kids, the reason part three of the show this week is getting put up late is because of me. I was waiting to talk about the Uber rally. You know, the big global rally that was in every major city. Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., London. Then when the only report of the rally was what I heard on a local LAAM news station while trying to get a traffic report, I thought I'd talk about the lack of coverage in the mainstream media, which at this point should surprise no one. But after reading about it on the web, the lack of coverage this time has been a blessing. When are we going to learn what the Republicans, because of their simplistic, limited, little narrow minds, know instinctively? Stay on message. From what I've read on the blogs, this thing was a bust of biblical proportions. I don't mean lack of people. I mean too vague, too diverse, too all over the fucking place. Speakers ranting on about Palestine, the Cuban Five, Haiti, Israel, rape, women's rights. I thought this protest was about impeaching the monkey and then getting the fuck out of Iraq. It's so simple. We get rid of Bush and co, which in and of itself will be a daunting, monumental task, because most of the executive branch and at least 35% of the Senate deserve to be in prison. But if we could just start there, the rest, especially getting our people the hell out of Iraq, would actually have a fraction of hope. How could we screw this up so bad? How could we let the magnificent juggernaut that is Cindy Sheehan fall so apart, so fast, and so hard on its face? Thankfully, from what I've seen and heard so far from the media, they've been rather kind. For the most part, it has been billed as a peace and anti-war rally, with, of course, all the outlets giving time to the handful of pro-war protesters that are on hand. We cannot vote them out. Everyone needs to wake the hell up to that fact. We must force them out or get rid of e-voting, which is completely fixed. Can you imagine the right-wing hysteria that would ensue if we managed to vote them the hell out with electronic voting in place? Every last one of them, to a man, would scream the system was hacked and start a lawsuit that would end up once again with the Supreme Court, and again, we'll lose. If yesterday had been about one thing, impeach the monkey, especially now that Katrina has handed us his incompetent ass and the insensitive, out of touch, completely soulless GOP on a plate, the time is now. Did we let that ship sail without us? Did we? That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme. I'll die for you.
Here's a little snippet. USA Today, they gave it about four little paragraphs. They buried it in the back. The smallest headline you can see in a newspaper, Weldon, OTA documents destroyed. A Pentagon employee was ordered to destroy documents that identified Muhammad Atta as a terrorist 2 years before the 9/11 attacks, Representative Kurt Weldon, Republican from Pennsylvania, said. The employee is prepared to testify Wednesday, I don't know what week this is from, for the Judiciary Committee and name the person who ordered the information destroyed, Weldon said. He didn't give the employee's name. Weldon said that Atta, the lead hijacker, yeah, we know. You don't have to explain who Muhammad Atta is, asshole. God. Gee, Abe Lincoln, was he a president? They were, Otto and his hijacker friends were identified in 1999 by a military intelligence unit known as Able Danger, which determined that they could be members of Al-Qaeda cell. Army Lieutenant Schaefer and Navy Captain Philpott have supported Weldon's claims. On Wednesday, former members of the 9/11 Commission rejected the Able Danger story. Former Senator Clay Gordon, Republican apologist for Bush, said bluntly, it just didn't happen. So Gordon, Republican from Washington, is calling Weldon, Republican from Pennsylvania, a goddamn liar. Interesting that a representative can make a charge that they destroyed documents identifying Otta as an Al-Qaeda guy, and this alleged proof is, I'll Google here, Representative Kurt with a C, Weldon, W-E-L-D-O-N, and Able Danger, see what comes up. And maybe this is a story everybody knows but me, but I'm just surprised it's something this inflammatory. Oh, no, what about Clinton's cock, so it can't make any headlines. Army Major Schweier goes, a Pentagon spokesman said Thursday, we've interviewed 80 people involved with Able Danger, combed through hundreds of thousands of documents and millions of emails, and have still found no documentation of Muhammad Atta. Well, yeah, what's the first goddamn sentence? A Pentagon employee was ordered to destroy the documents. And now they're saying we can find no evidence of the documents. Yeah, they were destroyed in the first sentence of the story. Numbnuts. You know, and all this gets back to Bush ran the CIA. I think Bush is still running the CIA. The CIA is just a shadow government run by the BFEE, unlimited budget. Whatever you think the budget numbers are, that's all a big lie. They've got a shadow, a twin government sitting there. It's like Bush, the monkey, is running the government that we see, and Poppy is running the other government that we can't see. And if they get caught, they're going to say, well, we had to have this extra government in place in case the first government was wiped out. Oh, so that's the reason why the CIA and the Bush family secretly put together a secret government with a black budget. Because what if? Never mind that this secret government, shadow government, wasn't elected or voted on or anything. And the idea that they're stealing hundreds of billions out of the Treasury without our knowledge. They just say, oh, it's a secret, we can't tell you. And they're stealing hundreds of billions of dollars, creating all these things. We have no idea. Muhammad Atta was the best thing to ever, ever, ever happen to a crooked administration. And they just all take it with, oh, well, okay, if you say so, Mr. Bush. If you say we need to write a secret half a billion dollar check to Halliburton, okay, we understand. It's important. No need to explain nothing, Mr. President. We trust you. And you wonder why the Democrats wear pink tutus on my page. Please.
As you know, in the last 2 weeks, the airwaves have been filled with jarring images. But yesterday at 11:58 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, America witnessed perhaps the most shocking scene of all.
Katrina exposed serious problems in our response capability at all levels of government. And to the extent that the federal government didn't fully do its job right, I take responsibility.
Holy what day is today?
The president takes responsibility!
What a nation, what a squirrel. He's got the country in a whirl. What's his name?
Secret squirrel.
He's got tricks up his sleeve. Most bad guys won't believe. A bulletproof coat, a cannon hat. Machine gun came with a rat-tat-tat-tat-tat. Find foreign spies, his disguise. Takes him many places, he's a squirrel of many faces. Who's that?
Hug.
Who's that?
Hutan.
Who's that?
Oi!
You know, we don't report a lot on individual atrocities in Iraq because it's all the same. Every day, there's another 30 or 50 car bombs go off, and it's always the same day after day. So after a while, it's not news anymore. If 30 car bombs in Iraq didn't go off, that would be news. You know, I always thought it was stupid when they'd say, today's headlines, there was Israel clashing with the Palestinians. They asked, no headline. What the hell's wrong with you? But this one kind of caught my eye. Bomb kills 30 near Baghdad. Violent soars in Iraq. More than 250 dead in 4 days. Oh, Jesus. 4 days after Al-Qaeda and Iran declared all-out war on the Shiite majority, 250 people have been killed, 30 of them by a car bomb Saturday outside a produce market in a poor Shiite neighborhood near Baghdad. The blast underlying one of the bloodiest weeks since the invasion. In all, at least 52 people were dead, killed or found dead throughout the country. Victims of mounting sectarian killings promised by Zarqawi the beheader. After a suicide car bomber exploded his vehicle Wednesday in the midst of assembled day labor. You know what this bastard did? And you know, if you're a mad dog, suicidal hand job killer, yeah, I guess that's a smart move. But this guy, he put a bunch of signs on his van saying, top dollar paid in cash for day workers, or what, you know, some, basically he said, big paying jobs in cash, apply now. And so a couple of hundred people gathered around his van. You know, he started telling about, oh, you're going to make all this money. It's easy work. Yeah, I'll give you whatever, $100 at the end of every day. And as he got about 250 people all packed around his truck. Then he reached in and hit the detonator and blew everyone the fuck up. They're all dead. That's how they do it in Iraq. It's not funny, but they offer you a little bit of hope, you know. Think about, like with Katrina, some starving guy has been stuck in his attic for 8 days, and here a boat comes along, and the guy says, we're here to save you, and goes, oh, thank God, and then he blows him up. Craziness in Iraq. But here's what I'm getting at. The death toll from at least 14 bombings Wednesday was 167, marked the worst day of violence in the capital since U.S. troops invaded over there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Saturday's remote control car bombing, Interior Police Major, somebody said the vehicles parked at their fruit and vegetable stands. Victims were taken to Baghdad Al-Kindi Hospital in pickup trucks and minivans. Some of the wounded, including those who lost limbs, lay bleeding on the hospital grounds. Can you imagine what it's like to work the emergency room at the Al-Kindi Hospital in Baghdad? My God, on a regular... I remember they used to talk about, before they invaded Afghanistan this last time, they sent a bunch of army doctors to work in the worst emergency rooms, like in L.A. and New York. And I'm saying in the really bad parts of town where on Saturday night there's all kinds of gang violence and a whole lot of knifings and a lot of shootings and stuff. And they say, you know, if you want to teach a guy how to be a wartime doctor, let him work in a ghetto emergency room situation for a couple of Saturdays. Then he'll get the idea. But think what it's like to be in Iraq. They got nothing. You got people coming in, you know, say 100 people at a time. They got bones sticking out and blood everywhere, and it's just the biggest effing mess you ever saw. And what do you got? You got no blood. You got no electricity. You got nothing is sterile. You're out of gauze. You're out of morphine. You're out of tape. You're out of every damn thing in the world. You know, the suicide bomber says, oh, my leg hurts, and he walks in. He blows himself up in the emergency room. What a panic. Don't you know that life under Saddam was paradise compared to what they have now? And sure, as the decades go by, it might get better. Sure, it'll get better the minute the religious insanity stops. Oh, I figure that'll be Thursday. That's got to be just around the corner. All goes back to the Democrats being afraid to call this Bush's war, because the Democrats think there's going to be peace in the Middle East, and they're afraid Bush is going to get all the credit for it. Don't they know anything about gambling? They're gambling that there is going to be peace in the Middle East, so they're staying on board with Bush's bloody war. If they would just call it Bush's war and let the Republicans say, how dare you blame this on us? Oh, so now there's some blame to go around instead of some credit. Bush gave those medals away because there was some blame to go around? Is that what you're now admitting? It would be so easy to force them into admitting the war is bad. But they don't want to. They just don't have the courage. They don't have the will. They just want to get their paycheck and get on TV a whole bunch. I, for one, am sick of them. Happy New Year! Saw something in the USA Weekend, which I'm not sure I fully understand. It comes with the Tulsa World, since USA doesn't publish on the weekends. But I assume this is under the USA Today umbrella. Big headline, pot. Cannabis isn't as harmless as suggested. Well, now excuse me. Name a reputable medical establishment, whatever, who said that pot was harmless. Even I've never said that. I'm saying compared to other drugs and to alcohol, it is harmless. But that's comparatively. The definition of a drug is a substance that has an effect on your body. And the effect might be good. I mean, if you're having a heart attack, a blood thinner is a good thing. If you're a hemophiliac, a blood thinner is a bad thing. So the drug is not bad. The bad comes from misusing it. Again, if you're a hemophiliac and you take a blood thinner, they call that contraindicated. Contra meaning Latin for against. So it's not indicated. It's the wrong thing to do. Well, you don't blame the drug for that. But anyway, cannabis is the most widely used illicit drug in the United States. But if you think it's hot to smoke pot, now see what I say a few minutes ago. They're not trying to educate. They're trying to be fucking cute. God damn, I hate cute. Just tell the story. Don't try to fucking rhyme things. What is wrong with the writers in America? Am I, Bart Kopp, the best writer in all the United States because I'm a little more interested in making a point or getting an idea across, conveying substantive ideas, throwing them out into the market to see the reaction from people, to see if I get a yay or a nay on a certain idea? Am I bothering to rhyme shit to be cute? No. But if you think it's hot to smoke pot, consider this. Two recent studies show that cannabis damages the vessels in your brain by constricting blood flow, putting you at risk for a stroke. Objection! Now, A, we don't know that it does that. We've got this hand job. This hand job's name is Susan T. Lennon, spelt like the Beatle. She says two recent studies show that. What two recent studies? Did you run out of room? Was there no room for five more words to say Lancet or the American Medical Association Journal or something? You just didn't have the time, did you? As far as two recent studies, they could have been one at Bob Jones University and one by Jerry Falwell's University. You know, those could have been the two studies. We don't know. The first bit I recorded for today's show was that there is not a responsible journalism source in this whole damn country. I would trust BuzzFlash. I would trust ConsortiumNews.com. I would trust anybody over any newspaper or network in this country. They're all liars except the ones I just labeled. And sure, Joe Connison, Gene Lyons, there are some others, Helen Thomas. There are a lot of people who do tell the truth, but you're not going to see an organization made out of them because there'd probably be anti-truth boycotted out of business. Okay, so back to this liar. Two recent studies show that cannabis damages the vessels in your brain by constricting blood flow, putting you at risk for a stroke. Okay, if this is true, where are all the millions and millions of stroke victims? Where are they? Has there been a marked increase in stroke victims when the 60s pot people hit 65? No, that didn't happen. You know why it didn't happen? Because it didn't fucking happen. That's why we didn't get a report on it, because it didn't fucking happen. Jesus, they're just so afraid of pot. They can't tell the truth. They are so afraid of the truth. So they got to make shit up. That ought to piss off everybody. I don't care if you hate pot. Wouldn't it be nice to read something truthful about pot? Wouldn't it just be nice? It makes no difference whether you smoke it, eat it, or take a pill. The active ingredient, THC, is the culprit. The stronger its concentration, ranging from 1% to 65% in some hash oils, is greater the danger. Long-term and heavy users are at risk. Objection. Objection, you lying whore. Show me some statistics. If someone did a study, show me two studies. Show me, we got 50 people in this wing, and they're all smoking pot like sons of bitches. And we got 50 people in this wing, they've never smoked anything in their lives. And all the pot people are stroking out, and none of the other people. No, that's not happening. That's not what they're saying. They can't give us the facts, because they're too busy lying. This is probably paid for by an oil company or by a religious hand job or by some, you know, Anheuser-Busch. They can't have marijuana become big in the United States. They want to sell you their intoxicant instead. The one that makes you drive your car off the road. That's the one they want to push on the kids. Not pot. Oh, no, no. Can't have no pot. No. You ever in your life heard of a kid driving off the road because he was high on pot? You ever heard of something? No, I never have. Maybe it's, probably it's happened. Statistically, it must have. But I'll bet you pick up your local newspaper tomorrow and read the DWIs in there just tomorrow. And I'll give you till the rest of the year to find me a guy who was involved in a wreck because he was high on marijuana only. You can't do it. I'll bet the rest of the year against tomorrow, and I'll win that bet. Because you know I'm right. Because if I'm wrong, show me the proof. Cannabis has long been associated with harmful changes in the brain. Objection! By whom has marijuana always been associated with harmful changes in the brain? Objection! You know, back in the 60s or 70s, I think it was the 70s, someone, and it was the National Institute of Health, it was somebody big, it was the government, it might have been a study that Nixon put together, but I remember Keith Straub at Normal was talking about it. He said they did this giant study, and they said the only thing that distinguished pot smokers from non-pot smokers was their pot use. It wasn't money, it wasn't education, it wasn't grades, it wasn't anything. The only thing that distinguished the two groups was the pot use. That, I believe, is the fact. If you got a different set of facts, well, show me. Show me your research. Now, sophisticated medical tools can pinpoint these harmful changes in the brain. One study, here we go. One study says Susan Lynn is full of shit. Hey, I got a study. One study demonstrates that the impairment of the brain's blood flow persists for at least a month after the last high. This eventually can lead to a stroke and its resulting paralysis, problems with vision, memory, and speech. Well, you know, it says it can lead to that. You know, if you eat a Hershey bar, you know, that could lead to you being hit by a truck. So we should ban all Hershey bars. It's just the same thing. You can't pick out this. You can't pick out two things and put a can between them, and now they're forever linked. It does not work that way. We got two recent studies and one study here. We got three studies. Hand job, hand job, hand job. Don't give me any facts. Just give me a bunch of words that somebody made up. It's like McCarthyism. I've got the proof right here in my hand, but you can't see it. What about medical marijuana? Scientific studies are underway to nail down its usefulness and safety, especially as an aid for pain. Well, what the hell's that paragraph? That paragraph's half normal. What's that doing in there? Scientific studies are underway. You know, the sons of bitches, they made it illegal to study pot. Isn't that crazy? To make it, that's like illegal to read. Remember when the slaves weren't allowed, you don't remember, but in the old days they say the slaves weren't allowed to read. Education was bad. Knowing what words mean will hurt you in the Old South. Well, apparently, knowing about marijuana will hurt you. They won't let you even study it because what if? What if it turns out that marijuana is not a... The idea... You know, these old bastards, they get their ideas about marijuana from that stupid Reefer Madness movie. A guy smoked it. I don't even know. I saw it when I was a kid, but I was high. I forget what it said. But... I remember this guy, he was playing a piano, and he started smoking some reefer, and he went crazy. I think he went and raped and murdered a girl. That ain't what you do on marijuana, but some monkey made a movie out of it. So from now on, marijuana equals rape and death. And that's how, between that and religion, that's how we base our laws these days. That is so crazy. So, USA Weekend, you are a whore. Susan T. Lennon, you are specifically a whore. Two studies, and one study showed bullshit. Oh, and here's the big bold inset headline, pot raises the risk for stroke. Objection. If that's true, then Haight-Ashbury must be overloaded with stroke victims, one after another, after another, after another. They must have just entire wings of hospitals with nothing but marijuana stroke victims. But no, that didn't happen because it didn't happen. All I'm asking for is the truth. Is that such a foreign concept in America in 2005 under the Bush monkey? Apparently it is. Oh, I just love America.
I think it'd be nice if our leaders could remember their childhood. Because it would help in a lot of respects. It would help in... just recently that we wouldn't have had to take up the Supreme Court's time with a discussion of whether the Pledge of Allegiance should have the words "under God" in it. That was unbelievable. We've had this discussion about whether "under God" should be in the Pledge of Allegiance at least five or six times that I remember in my lifetime. And even to spend the time discussing it now. And then they didn't even really, decide on it. They threw it out. They just threw it out. They didn't make the decision. And I'm glad because they're saving it, hopefully, for a more peaceable time when it makes sense to have an argument. That's what you save that kind of stuff for. You go, son of a bitch! God, it's been too nice for too long. Let's talk about that under God shit. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's the whole thing. It doesn't matter. It was put in 50 years ago, for starters, because that was a time when there were commies running around, and they were godless fuck heathens hiding out throughout the entire country, just scratching and ripping at the moral fabric. And so by putting "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance, son of a bitch, we put just another fucking, brick up on the goddamn wall to protect ourselves from evil. So, even if you wanted to say, okay, now it's in, tough shit, Lewis, I don't care. I don't really care if it says "under God" or not. It doesn't matter. If you're an atheist, and the other thing is they're always going, well, the atheists, I know atheists. They don't give a shit. They don't have enough energy to have faith, for fuck's sake. If the atheist doesn't want their child to say "under God," then the atheist should just have the child say "under dog." That way you have the same amount of syllables and you end at the same time. And that's what diversity is all about. Under God. The Christians, I think, really want to hold that in because that's stupid too. Because no child, while saying the Pledge of Allegiance, when saying the words "under God," has experienced the rapture. But finally, and most importantly, it really doesn't matter if the words "under God" are in it or not, because the pledge is said by elementary school students. And they don't know what the fuck they're saying! By the time you comprehend what's in the Pledge of Allegiance, you don't fucking have to say it anymore. The Pledge of Allegiance, ultimately, is coffee for elementary school students. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Fuck them in school! Can we say it again? I need a second cup.
Can't you see it's a massive government conspiracy? Or have they gotten to you too?
You are listening to Bart Kopp Radio at BartKopp.com.
Well, there you had it. Show 82 is in the can. And funny, we thought we were going to do a one-disc show this time, but I just got in a talky mood, and we ended up with a double-discer. So, like to thank all you subscribers. Like to thank the people who send in the occasional check. The unexpected checks do not belong to Caesar. They are gifts, not income. Also, like to thank Tommy Mack for loaning us his immense talents. And I'll get to work on show 83. Might be a single, might be a double, just don't know. But I'll get to work on it, see how it turns out. Thanks for listening. This is Bart and K-Drag, and I am gone.
And you asked me what I wanted. this year, and I'll try to make this kind and clear. Just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. 'Cause I don't need boxes wrapped in strings and designer love and empty things. Just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. So take these words and sing. Simple where we could live, and something only you can give, and that's faith and trust and peace while we're alive. And the one poor child who saved this world, and there's 10 million more who probably could if we all just stopped and said a prayer for them.